Good morning and welcome back to Nahiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Chav Ches, the 28th chapter in the book of Iyov, and would you know it, it has 28 psukim too. Let's try to appreciate this in context. We know at this point in time Iyov is rendering his first speech, which is not in direct response to his friends. He is not now responding, defending himself as clearly as he was before. This is the first speech where he's now stating his position without interference. This is actually the second half of the speech. Perek Chav Zayin was the first half of that speech, and now he launches into the second half of the speech. This is really an incredibly beautiful, incredibly poetic perek. It's worthwhile just reading it and appreciating it on its own grounds. Very, very special perek. It's divided into three basic sections, and it's actually very easy to delineate what those sections are, because they're actually divided into paragraphs. So there's a samach, which is a indication of a stuma, a paragraph, a half paragraph break after pasuk yud aleph, and then once again there is another paragraph break after pasuk yud tes, delineating it into three pretty equal divisions. Let's take a look at what each of these sections are about. The first section is really, in a certain sense, talking about discovery. The human mind, the capacity to find out more, the capacity to understand this world around us. He describes, in fact, how human beings have found and discovered elements across history and across time. For me, it actually takes me back to the reading of The Disappearing Spoon, which is a book by Sam Keen, about the history of the discovering of the periodic table of the elements and how each element was discovered and its different properties were extracted over time. Fascinating, fascinating history. He describes that in great detail. In fact, the way the Malum understands it over here is that there's five ways in which Iyov enumerates how people discover precious metals. He talks about kiyesh la kesef moitsa, umakom la zohov yozoku, that we talk about the idea of trying to find precious metals, whether it be gold, whether it be iron, the ideas of being able to find out where bronze is. He points out, and the introductory pasuk to this all is Kates Shom Lesom Lachoshech Ulchol Tachlis Hu Choyker Even Oifel Vatzamaves. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed an end. There is a limit to darkness. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the human being, the human mind, to uncover, to find the rocks of the deepest of places. How do people find them? So the Malum understands that there's five methodologies of discovering hidden elements, hidden metals, precious metals, useful metals. One is magnets. Here, the way that Malbim understands this from Pesukim Beis to Gimel is the idea of Even Oferel Vetzamoves, a stone which operates in darkness, which is Choker, which searches out, is in fact a magnet. The Malbim was a revolutionary figure in the sense that he was the erudite Talmud Chochom, who turned his life work into understanding Tanakh and defending it against the accusations, the false accusations of biblical studies in the 1800s. And he was very much a learned man. He was a man who clearly read the science of the times, and it appears in his Pirushim in many places, many of them in this perek, where he talks about the notion of a magnet, where people can search for using an invisible force, being able to find metals. That's what he believes is being described in the first method. The second method he talks about is diverted streams in Pasuk Dalet. Poratz nachal me'im gor hanishkochim mini regel. So if, let's say, a stream pivots into a different direction, now suddenly on the riverbed you notice it brings up gold, it brings up different elements which you now see are embedded in the riverbank. In Pesukim V'heit Vav, he talks about earthquakes, the idea where the earth reveals the precious metals. Eretz mimenu yotzei lechem v'tachteo ne'epach kamoi esh. You hear the molten lava coming up, and out comes, and that's how human beings discover all these incredible metals. The fourth perspective is from Pesukim Zayin to Ches, or Tes, is erosion, where ultimately he describes nasiv lo yado, ayit v'lo shazaftu, ayit ein ayah, describes the way that the natural world, so to speak, deforms. There's a certain level of atrophy in the world, and that it helps us uncover metals. And finally, he talks about the idea of dried up rivers. Yeah, that's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the idea of Mibichino Haroes Chibesh, Vetalumna Yoitse Oir. And through that, we see suddenly all these natural elements which are just beneath the surface. Rav Schwab doesn't take it into such a specific way. The Malbim seems to focus on the entire topic of these first 11 psukim in point one are about discovering metals. Rav Schwab says, no, it's talking about the expansion of nature as a whole. The natural phenomenon, the ecosystem, how it repopulates itself, the new environments, the new animals. And that's perhaps why in psukim, let's say, Zayin, Ches, and Tes, is a description of certain animals as well. It's not simply a description of the metals themselves, but he talks about the falcon as well. He talks about the lion. He talks about the different ideas that populate these different environments after erosions, after earthquakes, after volcanoes, and how the world changes and life reshifts, and the complexity of those ecosystems. Reminds me when we spent some time in Wyoming this last summer, we visited a place called Slide Lake. Slide Lake was actually created by an incredible landslide, the largest recorded landslide in human history, where essentially half the mountain slid down into the valley, thereby blocking up the river. And what's phenomenal about it is just to see how it's regrown and how the different sides of the new mountain now look. And we're talking about a very deep lake. We're not talking about a small, the valley was really covered. And thankfully, no one was actually killed. It's a pretty remarkable miracle. It happened just over a century ago. And it's fascinating, in the lake itself, there's an underground forest. So some of the old trees stick up through the lake, tens, hundreds of feet, some of them. And you can see the sort of the old trees sticking through, but then the new trees along the sides of the lake. It's remarkable. When you're reading Eov's words here, the beautiful poetry. And this is also important to notice the words of the Baal Shem Tov here, who notes on Pasuk Gimel, very beautiful idea, Keitz Som LaChoshech, that there's an end to darkness. The way that's understood on a Derech Pshat, the most basic level, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the human mind to explore, to expand, to understand nature and the complexities of the ecosystem. The way that the Baal Shem Tov says in Parashas Miketz, talking about Yosef in prison, is that he says that Shekolzman Sheyetzer Haraba Olam Ofer Otzamo Es Balam. As long as we have indulgences within us, we have that drawing within us to listen to our natural urges, there is darkness. He quotes Arizal that a person has to extract the Kedusha, the Nitzotzos HaKedusha, the little sparks of holiness which are broken at the beginning of creation, which are found even in the Yetzer Hara, which means that even in the darkness, even in the Yetzer Hara, there is something to be extracted. Like Yosef is in that prison, there was something in the darkness of his situation which needed to be imparted. We move to point two, which runs from Sukkim, Yud Beis, to Yud Tes. In this point, he describes wisdom as a whole. He says, and he contrasts this, V'achachma me'ayin timotzei. Wisdom is not like precious metals. Wisdom is completely separate in two ways, as the Malbim points out, as is clear in the Psukim. One is unlike metals, we don't know where to find it. And number two is, it's very hard to fully appraise it. We can't, in an earthly fashion, really understand what wisdom is. And he goes into very beautiful, poetic descriptions of these ideas. And if you look at through the Psukim, he talks about various different gems. The finest gold of Ophir cannot be weighed against it. The silver cannot be paid out in its full price. Lots of very beautiful descriptions that are in these Psukim. But Chochmah is more than all of them. Which leads us to the third and concluding paragraph or point in this perek, which is from Psukim Chof to Chof Ches, the last nine Psukim. And in this he says, so where is wisdom found? Where do I really find deeper understanding? He says that it's so evasive and perhaps otherworldly. In a certain sense, a person can really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside the confines of this world. Meaning to say, he says, Avodon v'moves omru ba'ozneinu shamanu shim'a. Only after death do we really fully grasp the bigger perspective. He describes, and as the Malbim explains in these psukim, just look at the water cycle. Look at evaporation, condensation, and precipitation. Look at the remarkable nature. Look at how lightning is formed. The Malbim goes into such beautiful depth, understanding the electricity, static electricity, which is clearly very newly discovered at this time, Benjamin Franklin's experimentation. The Malbim was reading about this. And he says, look at the complexity of the way it works. It is clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim, Hevin, Darkov, Yoda, Esmakumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything about this world. There's nothing which escapes him. And therefore, he says, if Hashem knows everything, and wisdom is not with us worldly. What's the conclusion? Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayomer la'adam, hein yiras Hashem hi chochma, v'sur me'ra bina. You know what? Ultimately, he concludes with saying, he says to man, see, fear of God is wisdom. To shun evil is understanding. What does he mean? What it seems to be saying is, he seems to be saying that, you know what? A human being might not fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A human being might not fully grasp the Ribono Shel Olam. But you know what? What a person should be grasping or trying to is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis famously says, that based on this pasuk, that the most basic thing before even any wisdom is able to be collated or stored, it needs Yiras Shamayim, it needs fear of heaven. And therefore he's ultimately saying, is that I can't fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Chochmah is more precious and more non-worldly than anything else that I can access. I can't find where it is, I can't get the grasp it fully, but I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it. And therefore, he in a certain sense submits. I'd like to just point out, as we close this parak, what a remarkable moment this is for Eov. You see, at the beginning of Eov's speeches with his friends, he had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in this world, because how else could I have suffered? And you know what he also said? He also declared that there is no justice which can be afforded after this world. It has to be within this world. It's interesting that Eov seems to have reformed both of those points in the speech. And in a certain sense, his friends have listened to him. They have backed down now. They're not going to castigate him more and accuse him more. But Eov, in a certain sense, also accedes to some of their points, otherworldly justice and Hashkacha Pratis, which are two of the mainstays of their arguments. And this is a very beautiful moment, and it should not go unnoticed, the degree of change that seems to be prevailing in Eov's speech at this point in time. With this, we close, and we'll start his 11th speech, Perek Te'achav Tes, tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.